reading, so basic, beautiful, so crucial, so important, and yet a lot of people struggle with finding a good route into being a good reader. I'm sure you both have had the experience I've often had of someone coming up to you, let's say in church, and saying, you know, I'd really like to grow as a good reader, but I just don't know what to do. How do I get started? What do I do? What do you say when that when that happens?
I love it when people say that.
I do too.
Because often the other thing is what people will say is, I just don't have time to read.
Right. Yes.
I fall asleep when I read. Right. You know, my husband is an elder. I don't know, you know, so I love it. I get really excited. I think I could be the chairperson of the Overreaders Anonymous Club. So I do tend to sort of.
You're elected.
Thank you. Well, one of the first things people need to do is have a plan. And I do find that, and I would say especially among my very busy women friends, having a plan for our devotional life, we are too busy. And so we appeal to a sort of verse a day approach. And there is simply no way that you can steward the ideas of this world when you are a verse a day Christian. And so the first thing I like to say to people is, I'll say, well, why do you read your Bible? And usually people will say, well, you know, I want to draw closer to the Lord. And yes, that is an excellent reason. But have you ever thought that you're not just reading it for you? Have you ever thought that there are countless people who don't know how to read, or who can't read a Bible, who don't even care to read? And you are shouldering an awesome responsibility of stewarding the world's ideas in a biblical way. You know, I find myself as a homeschool mom, I am, you know, a Christian, you know, apologist in the grocery store, at my homeschool co-op, certainly among my neighbors. So we have to realize that our time in the Word is not a selfish time.
And that's a great point.
You know, so you have to have a plan. And sometimes people will say, well, what do you do? Well, you know, for me, and maybe you all feel this way as well, but when you spend time publicly proclaiming the Word of God, God will test everything that comes out of your mouth in private. And it is agonizing.
Dare to speak it.
Oh, it is agonizing. And so for me, spending an hour in the morning is crucial. Now, I am at a season of life when I don't have little children. So I have the privilege of being the first one up. There was a season when that was not true, and so I don't mean this in a programmatic way, but you've got to have a plan. You know, and so, you know, I read part of the Psalms, I read a proverb, I read through the Bible many times in a year. I like to use the Table Talk system, but my ultimate goal in doing this is to know God better, to lean, yield, submit to Romans 8:28 regarding my circumstances, but also to take up a creation mandate. You know, we're to steward the earth. Well, you know, I'm a philosopher by training. I don't garden very well, but what I can steward, I can steward ideas, but I can't steward them according to the Word of God if I'm not deeply in the Word.
Yes. As a person with a background in literature, I suspect that you would want to tell that person who's asking, and I suspect that this is very important to you as well, that this Word we have from God, His very voice speaking to us, we must receive in the way He has spoken it to us. And so, you know, part of my answer, part of my plan would be, as you say, book by book through the book, in the way God's given it to us, not verse. I mean, we wouldn't read a novel by picking out a page here and a page there.
That's right.
We wouldn't read a poem by forgetting about the form of it and just picking out one line, especially if it matched a parallel line we needed to see how they go together.
That's right.
And so the genres, the form, book by book, you know, all that actually is not just a duty in receiving God's Word, is it, but a pleasure, and also, don't you think, a way of then being able to share it, even with people who wouldn't believe it, but who...
Especially so.
Yes.
Especially yes. so. No, I agree entirely. Reading has to be done in genre and in historical context. Yeah. You know, and you would not use the same rules of scansion to scan a text message as you would a sonnet. And if you did, you would never read that text message accurately. If I say, you know, Gloria, meet me for coffee at Starbucks,
right.
you know, and you're scanning it for iambic pentameter, you know what I mean, man? You're stuck, you missed it. And we miss a lot in scripture because of that, and we become very impatient. You know, I've never met a student who says, well, Shakespeare's hard to read, I expect more from him.
I have met one.
No. I mean, see, I've gotten out of the field 10 years ago. But I often meet Christians who say, well, I can't read this. It's too hard. Mm. I expect God to meet me here. Now, God is our seeker. He does seek us. But in the same way that learning to read Shakespeare, it's an acquired taste. Mm-hmm.
You have to work at it, don't
you? You have to work at it, and you have to learn certain tools of the trade.
That's right.
And learning to read each of the separate books of the Bible is it's also an acquired taste. And to presume that the Bible should simply open itself up transparently on your terms is dangerous arrogance. And I postured that for years, so I'm only speaking as one with blood all over her hands and complete empathy for this. Mm.
What do we tell children when they say they're not interested or it's too hard? What do you tell your children?
I've actually been blessed with the privilege of talking with one of my children who's just learning to read.
Mm-hmm. Lovely,
and
lovely.
I heard her sounding out from Genesis 1 in her Bible, these small words, let us make man in our image. Image. Let us make man in our image. What's that mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, sweetheart.
Right.
This has just opened up to you.
Right.
That's
you
so exciting.
Can read. This is massive, this right here. And I've found her enthusiasm for reading is growing as her competency grows, but I want to come alongside that and support it underneath with the nature of what it is she's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
She's not looking at a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't stuff about God. This is God's words.
Right.
This is food. Treat this like it's food.
That's right.
You need to eat every day. You get cravings for food.
Right.
You're compelled into the kitchen.
That's right.
Like a tractor beam when you're hungry.
And like the very best food, the more you eat of it.
Exactly.
The more you want of it.
You do not taste that honey is good if it's just there.
Yeah.
You need to consume it and know that it's good. So I'm trying to come alongside her competency in reading and her comprehension with helping her understand the nature of the Bible and what it is.
Yeah. And don't you find story, too? I mean, we have so much narrative in the scripture.
Yes.
It draws children, of course, all the Bible stories, but also draws cross-cultural, all kinds of.
Well, we're psalm singers.
We sing
psalms exclusively in our worship practices.
Yeah.
And my children have some learning delays. So reading is very hard. But singing the psalms is not. And I have seen, one of my children empowered by singing the psalms and learning hand motions that go with some of the words. And
That's
that has
really
been delightful. And I am a passionate proponent of psalm singing. It is the word of God that will direct and purify. And there's a way that person-made themes allow us to manage God rather than let God have his way with us.
Yeah.
And that has been, so I have been delighted to see the way that of just a simple practice that my children have been raised with. It's part of our denominational's distinctives, but also part of mm-hmm. our household's family devotional practice has empowered her mm-hmm. and equipped her. And that's it's so exciting because we know that the Lord has a gospel bridge for children with disabilities. Right. We know that our ability, that we are, two things are eternal, the souls of people and the Word of God. So we know that those two things have a match, that no barrier, right? You know, they have a receptor site for each other, that no barrier, including profound learning and even mental illness barriers would present themselves. So I think it is an exciting thing to think about that. What is the gospel bridge to this child who cannot read?
That's beautiful. You know,
what is the gospel bridge?
And the thing about the Psalms too, singing them, praying them, reading through all of them. Sometimes we just pick out the ones we feel we need for our circumstances, but when you go right through them, don't they go through they touch on all the themes of the Bible, a lot of themes of judgment that we often wouldn't choose
to
read
that's
about.
Right. That's right.
Our sin, creation.
All in one sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
And lamentation.
That's right.
You know, we've lost the ability to lament, and friend of mine who's also a pastor and a professor has linked that, Professor C.J. Williams has linked that to our lack of psalm singing. Mm. The psalms really teach us how to lament. And I remember back in the day when I was first coming to the Lord, and my life fell apart because that's what happened. Because you know what? The Lord had to clean my house. And I had to learn how to pick up a broom and help and quit fighting. And that's one of those lessons I keep having to relearn, by the way. I'm hoping I'm going to get this one. But I had a lesbian neighbor who came to me and said, you know, Rosaria, I had no interest in learning anything about God when things are going well for you. But now that you're suffering, I want to know, where is your God in your suffering? Mm-hmm. And that has been, for me, a galvanizing conversation. Mm-hmm. Where is the Lord in your suffering? That's ultimately what people are asking. And when we are only, I would say, peddling a cheap and heretical gospel, not only are we disobeying God, not only are we causing shame to our Savior, but we are in no way being a good neighbor.
Sharing our hearts, sharing our sins, sharing our lament. Out of the depths I cry to thee.
Amen.